Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bob Zimmerman is going to take us to the center of the Milky Way, our favorite galaxy. And we're in our favorite solar system, in our favorite galaxy. However, we're looking at a photograph, an image of Sagittarius A. What is that, Bob?
It's actually called Sagittarius A star. The A has like an asterisk next to it, but it's actually pronounced A star. So Sagittarius A star is the object at the center of the Milky Way. It was named by radio astronomers back in the 50s because it was discovered. It was the first real nature object discovered using radio astronomy because it emits in radio wavelengths. Well, it's turned out over the decades we've learned that it is actually the home of a supermassive black hole that is 4 million times the mass of the sun. I mean, this is a big thing. And it's, of course, it's invisible. It's a black hole. But it exists. And it exists. It has what they call the event horizon, which is the area between not being in the black hole and being captured back by the black hole. And an area, that event horizon, you're going to have energy emissions along it as objects get absorbed into the black hole. And so the scientists use what they call the Event Horizon Telescope, which is really an array of 8 radio telescopes across the globe. And by being across the globe, it makes it very large, which means it increases the resolution of the images, the radio images that they produce. And it's designed to actually look at black holes. And in 2019, it took its first radio wavelength image of a black hole at the center of the galaxy M87, 55 million light years away. Well, this is the second image now in radio wavelengths of the event horizon of a black hole, but this time it's the center of the Milky Way. And it's a really cool image. We're not looking at, natural light. This is radio wavelengths. But it gives them a very good idea of what that event, the size of the event horizon and the kind of energy produced by it, which, by the way, happens to confirm once again one of Einstein's theories. And it also will allow them now to begin to understand better how these giant black holes function and exist, John. So it's very cool.
And so the image I'm looking at is not in any way enhanced. That's what it looks like.
Oh, it's definitely enhanced. I mean, one of the things you have to understand is when they do an array, image made up of an array of telescopes spread over the whole globe, each telescope produces a radio image that covers a different area of the object, and there are gaps between. And so they have to do computer modeling to fill in the gaps, to smooth the image over, to make it look more, have more resolution, have a sharper look to it. And so there's definitely a lot of modeling going on here and assumptions being made. But nonetheless, the technology has improved very much that we're not getting it. We're looking at radio emissions, so it's like clouds. It's not going to be sharp anyway, but we're getting an idea of what this event horizon is like.
We're going to the surface of the planet Mars, to Zhurong. Last we spoke of Zhurong, Bob, I believe winter coming on and Zhurong is winding down. What has it discovered?
Zhurong is definitely now hunkering down for the winter. We'll have to hope it survives the winter. It wasn't really designed to last this long, so anything it gets is good. I wouldn't be surprised if it does survive the winter. We've managed to do the same thing with Spirit and Opportunity, and Zhurong is essentially an outright steal. That's literally the case of the designs of Spirit and Opportunity, so we should be optimistic about it surviving. But they released the scientists who work on Zhurong and use its data have just published a paper based upon data obtained during the first 4 months of Zhurong's mission, which is now almost 8 months long. And what that data tells them is that the ground in the northern lowland plains near the equator where Zhurong happens to be has evidence in it that suggests it was wet much more recently than previously believed. Scientists have generally thought that the dry regions of Mars near the equator have not seen much water for the last 3 billion years. But the data from Zhurong now suggests that that's not true, that whenever the planet's tilt, its rotational tilt, its obliquity, exceeds 30 degrees, it's presently at 25 degrees, the Earth tilts at 23 degrees, to give some context. But it periodically, and this happens many times, every few million years, the tilt can go as much as 65 degrees. It can actually still tilt upward to only be 11 degrees. Mars really fluctuates here. And what the data seems to show is that when that tilt reaches 30 degrees or more, the equatorial regions can get water and ice. That's what this data tells us. And that's really very exciting because it does suggest that there has been ice, mostly probably ice, in the equatorial regions very recently, John. Very exciting.
All right, cool images on the surface of the surface of Mars. Mountains, mesas, box canyons. Always love those cowboy movies, Bob.
Yes, this is at the floor of Valles Marineris, the biggest canyon in the solar system, and it's just a very cool picture of a mountain region and these blocks of chaos terrain, which has these random canyons and mesas. What's really interesting about this image is that it's dead center in an area where they think there is underground ice in the equatorial regions, and there seems to be evidence of that in the surface geology, John.
Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
What if your top salesperson was 1,000 times more efficient? And what if a limitless digital workforce helped your number one find leads? A super team working 24/7 on their behalf. Thinking, acting, and solving complex tasks so more deals closed. What if with every sale, each customer felt like they were the only customer? That would be one very efficient sales leader. Now, imagine if every person on your team worked to the power of 1,000. They can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest, building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.